Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. We're going to do a different type of episode today.
Yeah, we're going to try something out that we actually had an idea to do this as like a separate extra weekly episode every week. And then we were like, that might be too time consuming. It might be something we can't commit to time wise. So we're just going to try it out in our normal flow of weekly episodes. We're going to read an article that we think is interesting
recently in
the news and then hang up. No, there's other podcasts that just read articles aloud to you, which are lovely and helpful. No, we're going to actually like share some commentary on it and just use it as a gate. What's the word? Not gateway. Use it as a pulpit. What's the word?
Springboard.
Springboard for a good conversation about, you know, money and what's going on in the world.
Now, Maggie, did you ever watch Reading Rainbow growing up?
Yes. Reading Rainbow.
God, that was my favorite show. LeVar Burton.
Book. Yeah.
This is, I'm living out my Reading Rainbow.
Dreams,
exactly.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, so we'll read through this. It's only going to take a few minutes, and then we'll share some of our thoughts. Please let us know if this is interesting. We'll do some posts on Instagram, so head over to that account and let us know if this is a terrible idea and you never want to hear us read an article again, or it's interesting and you'd like us to find some more. Or
yeah,
you can send us an article. We will read it and provide our thoughts on it.
Yeah, that actually is a great suggestion.
Title of the article is 7 Ways a Recession Could Be Good for You Financially by Michelle Singletary.
And the tagline is like, hey, a recession isn't all bad news. Here are 7 silver linings.
In his first inaugural address in March 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "So, first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." It was the Great Depression. The unemployment rate was over 25%. An estimated 12 million people were out of work, about 1/4 of the civilian labor force. More than 11,000 of the 24,000 banks had failed, destroying the savings of depositors, according to the National Archives. Fast forward to now, and as bad as things are, rising interest rates, high inflation, stock market tumbling, the economy hasn't imploded as it did during the Great Depression. I have to say this because, as Roosevelt pointed out, fear itself can lead to actions that worsen your finances. While many people are hurting, there may be ways to cushion the downside. Here are 7 silver linings if we are heading into a recession.
Number 1, housing prices may finally come down to reasonable levels. The average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage jumped to 6.7% this week, according to data released by Freddie Mac. Higher mortgage rates may result in sellers in many markets lowering their asking prices so that buyers can qualify for the loans. With cheaper loans gone, there will be fewer bidding wars to drive up home prices.
Number 2, saving rates are up. At least one bright side of the Federal Reserve raising rates to fight inflation is banks are paying people more to hold their money. My credit union has a special 20-month offer on a certificate that would pay me a 3% annual percentage yield. Many prospective savers may not have yet noticed that yields have been on the rise, says Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst and Washington bureau chief for Bankrate.com. Be sure to shop around, Hamrick said. Why leave money on the proverbial table when you can have it in your account? The key is making it a priority to have access to funds when and if urgent development occurs, he said. By the way, no, you should not stop contributing to your retirement plan. Historically, over time, the market recovers. If you bail now, you will miss the recovery.
Number 3, I-bonds inflation rate might go even higher. The Series I savings bond was created as a hedge against inflation. Until the end of October, the bonds are paying 9.62%. There are 2 components to the return for an I-bond, a fixed rate and an inflation rate. The fixed rate, which right now is 0%, applies for the 30-year life of the bond. The fixed rate of newly purchased bonds and the semi-annual inflation rate are announced by the Treasury Department each May and November. If inflation stays high, I-bonds could be paying more come November. To buy an electronic I-bond, you must set up an account at treasurydirect.gov. Individuals can purchase up to $10,000 in electronic I-bonds in a calendar year.
Number four, the dollar is king. Although a lot is in flux, if you have plans to travel overseas, your dollar may go a lot further. This week, the British pound fell to an all-time low against the dollar.
Number five, unemployment is still relatively low. People with jobs and money to spare can spend on luxuries such as a vacation. Despite higher prices and rising interest rates, millions of Americans have been taking leisure trips. More than half of Americans plan to travel for one or both of the holidays this year, even though airfares will be 43% higher than last year, according to Hopper, a travel booking app. However, the unemployment rate did rise to 3.7%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So if you're worried about your job security, cancel any vacation plans you might have over the holidays or even for summer 2023.
Number six, your used car is worth more. If you're looking to upgrade to a newer car and your car is in fairly good condition, you'll get more for your trade-in. Used car and truck prices jumped 7.8% according to the latest data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Unfortunately, new car prices were up 10% from a year ago.
Number seven, student loan forgiveness is coming. First off, this article was written like a month ago, September 29th, so we should note that. Okay, number seven, student loan forgiveness is coming. Roosevelt used his executive power to wage war against the economic emergency gripping the United States. President Biden is doing something similar by forgiving student loan debt to help struggling borrowers. Biden announced a one-time forgiveness program that will wipe out up to $10,000 in federal student loan debt and up to $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients for individuals who earn $125,000 or less than $250,000 for married couples. The Biden administration also announced last year a time-limited waiver to help forgive more debt under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Act fast to sign up for the waiver. The deadline is October 31st. Of course, times are tough, and for some people, much more than others, but remember that fear will not help you make wise financial decisions. That was an abrupt ending to that article, by the way. Just so you know, I was even reading it, and I was like, wait, it's over? It would like hit number seven on student loan forgiveness, and then that was, times are tough, you know?
Yeah.
Much more for some than others. Okay.
All right. So, I like this article. I think mostly because it follows the structure of our episodes a lot.
Well, I like it because it's putting a positive spin on something that is tough and stressing a lot of people out. And look, that's the best you can do in times like this is not just put a positive spin on it just for the sake of it, but all these things are realities that are happening in the economy right now. And you can kind of be afraid and go, you know, hide in a hole somewhere and hope that it's all just magically going to change. Or you can do some proactive things to make the best of a tough situation and handle your finances appropriately. And that's what the article is going into, which I appreciate the angle they're taking.
And one important point about recessions is that recessions are not created equally. And I think everybody thinks back to the 2008 financial crisis, or in this article, the Great Depression. And that is not what's happening right now. The fact that we have been talking about a recession for like a year or a year and a half now is an indication that this is going to be different and, in all likelihood, much more mild than other recessions that we've had in our lifetime. And so I do think that there is an opportunity for people to reflect on their current lifestyle and their plans, especially if there is a likelihood that there may be fewer jobs out there if they're considering job switching. There may be layoffs or changes in your existing company. Like, those things are fairly likely, but not to the same severity that we saw in 2008 or even in 2020 when COVID hit.
With COVID, yeah.
So it's a good opportunity to just reflect on what's happening in your life. And Maggie, yes, there's going to be some great silver linings that you'll be able to find for the long term.
Yeah, and I think about, it's funny, I get the question all the time about the timing of my retirement and just, you know,
it was the worst.
Like, it was bad timing. But on the flip side of all the things I kind of worry about, when you mention unemployment and, you know, job losses and other things, I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not at all worried about losing my job.
Yeah.
You know, like I've lost my job on my own. And so It's like, you know, it's again, it's both sides of it. It's like, yeah, there's things to be stressed about. Yes. Do I wish the market was up? And do I wish I had more sort of fake, I say fake money, because even when the market's up, I'm not pulling all my money out. It's right. just money that is potential future money I can pull from.
So Maggie, I would love to see a quote in an article where you say something like, the best thing you can do to protect yourself from the stress of a recession is to quit your job, just retire yeah. early, because then it doesn't bother you at all.
And you're not stressed about losing your job. You know, I beat you to it. You yeah. know, you want to fire me? Like, watch out. I'll fire myself. Okay, we're getting off topic, but
do we even have a topic?
We do. We have these seven lovely things people can be doing. Seven silver linings, mm-hmm. right? Seven ways a recession could be good for you. So a couple of things I think we should talk about that came up in here that we actually get a good bit of questions about and we don't talk about much is I-bonds. So I've actually gotten a number of like Instagram comments, and we've talked about it in one episode, I think. But the interest rate for the past year has been very attractive on treasury, what they're called series I stands for interest, I believe, I savings bonds. And I'll give you my view on them, Mike. And mm-hmm. I'm curious, I feel like you probably have a very similar view. There's a $10,000 limit per person. So like, you know, you and your spouse can do it. I think you can actually open them in your kid's name too.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're a little bit cumbersome. Clunky, cumbersome. There's funny rules about when you can get to actually realize that, like the percentage they quoted, about 9.62%. You don't realize that right away. You have to keep it in there for multiple years. I don't even know all the rules because I will admit I actually opened an account like 6 months ago to buy this, and Greg did too, and he successfully bought his. I put one number wrong in my bank routing number, and they forever, basically, I'm like blocked, and I have to like go to a bank and get a notarized letter to fix all this. And I was like, forget it. Like, you just made the bar so high for me to even deal with this. I don't want to deal with it. So I you can't just like re-update the number and be like, oh, I put the wrong number in. Anyways, I got like really annoyed at the website and how terrible it is. And it's probably for some like, you know, security reasons, but whatever. It's a ridiculous process that me being one number off, I don't get another chance to just update my bank account. So that may be altering my view a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but to me, I'm like, it's not a terrible thing to do. It obviously over time can have a, you know, pretty strong kind of guaranteed performance rate. I still think me putting 10 grand in the stock market right now is a better thing for me to do because stocks are massively on sale right now. And so, there's a diversification angle, but like to me, it's just not worth it enough for $10,000.
Yeah. I have also not purchased these. And the reason is that in this article says there's two components to the return. There's a fixed rate and an inflation rate. And in a normal year, the total combined rate might be like 0.2%. And these things reset every 6 months. So yes, it's almost 10% right now. And you'll get that annualized rate for 6 months. And then if inflation gets totally under control in 6 months, it could go down to 0.2%. And then all your money is just growing at a very nominal rate. And so if this were 9.62% indefinitely, I would find a way to sell all of my assets and buy I-bonds at 9.62%. But that's not the way it works. Now, to your point, great way to diversify. You can buy them for your kids, and every year you can buy $10,000 more per person. So it's not a bad thing. It's a good opportunity right now, especially if you're like out of the stock market and worried about losing more money. You could get this and earn that rate for a period of time. So it's an interesting opportunity. I'm not personally participating. Maggie, you are prohibited from participating because your account is messed up.
Yeah. And we're not going to get into like all of the logistics of how I-bonds work. But the one thing I will say is you can't redeem them in the first 5 years without an interest penalty. So to Mike's point, you've locked up that $10,000 in something that is controlled by the government. So right now it's a high percentage rate. But to your point, in a year and a half, it might go significantly down. And then you're like, oh, I'd rather have that money somewhere else. And so for me, it's just not, there's not enough like control over it. But again, it's not a bad idea, right? There's a lot of people that are doing them. It's a good kind of, it's a good diversification even of, you know, kind of having your money in different types of things. But to me, the level of effort to kind of set one up for only $10,000, right? It's like another account I have to have, and I would rather just take that $10,000 and invest it in stocks that I think are about 25% on sale right now.
Another one that I found interesting in this list was the one about unemployment still being low. And, you know, we talked about in not too long ago episodes about asking for a raise and how to get promoted. And within that, you know, it's switching companies is like in some ways the best way, the easiest way to get better titles, to get more money. I think everybody's talking about a recession as though, again, like 2008, where like all jobs get wiped out. That is not the case. There are still industries which are hiring like crazy. And you might read something in the news about how, you know, Facebook is tightening the belt and they've kind of paused hiring or something like that. That is not all companies. Total unemployment is still very low. There are still great opportunities out there. And so if you are interested in getting a new job or you want to go find more money, like you can still go do that. And now might be a really good time because there is a possibility that as we get further into a recession, that even the strongest industries start to pause. And I'm not saying that's going to happen because, like, all recessions are different, but now could be a really great time to reevaluate your career.
And like I think we talked about a bit in the how to get promoted and the how to ask for a raise episode, to me, the biggest way to protect yourself from unemployment, it's not foolproof, is just be great at your job. Right? Be indispensable. Be the one, like everyone is having to make, I had to do it often. It was one of the worst things I had to do in my leadership roles is I had to make decisions when there were layoffs about who to lay off, right? And some of it's based on the job that they had and what we could stand to lose versus not. But sometimes you have multiple people in the same job, right? And you're like, well, who's got a good attitude? Who's easy to work with? Who gets their job done, right? Who goes above and beyond, right? There's all of these qualitative versus quantitative factors that a boss is having to make or your manager is having to make. And there are things you can do to be an awesome employee that make you less susceptible to being impacted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we should talk about student loan forgiveness a little bit.
Okay, sure.
Because so this article that we're reading, it was written right at the end of September. So the article was positioned around student loan forgiveness is coming because it had been announced by the Biden administration. It's actually here now. Just in the past couple of days, the formal application opened for you to apply for your forgiveness and validate that you are eligible and all that. But you can formally apply now. And it's a pretty quick and simple process from what I've heard also. And look, I think there's like zero value on us sharing our opinion on what we think of student loan forgiveness. There's so many people who have been sharing that on like social media and everything. It doesn't matter what I think. If you qualify, of course you should go do it. And I'm not like against it, to be clear. I'm just saying there's no value of all the, I love talking and I like sharing context, but it's like literally a waste of time for me to share what I think. They are offering you free money and forgiveness of student loans. If you qualify, go apply for it and take it. You would be silly not to.
I don't know, Maggie. I kind of want to hear your political opinions on this topic.
Not my political opinions, but you've heard my opinions on like, look, it's frustrating if I worked really hard to like pay off my student loans, but that doesn't matter. I would still take this, right? If I had waited, like good for me, I would take it, like to be clear. And that's why I say like, it doesn't matter. Like my only feeling about student loan forgiveness is how hard many people worked to scrimp and save and everything else to pay off their student loans that they didn't have this. So it's kind of like, it's like not fair for all the people who did pay it. But look, I deal with kids telling me things aren't fair all day long and life is not fair. It doesn't have to be fair and equitable. This has happened and this has shown up for everyone now. You better go take advantage of it. You better believe I would take advantage of it if I still had student loans. You know, I just wish I hadn't paid off my student loans 20 years ago.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know, you're just messing around.
But to make a broader point about this, like as we enter a period where times are potentially going to be tougher for some people, there could be other opportunities. And they may be in the form of tax credits, student loan forgiveness. It could also just be like retail deals or an opportunity to buy housing in certain markets. So like the economy slows down or retracts, which is what a recession is, a retraction of GDP. then there's going to be pockets of great opportunities for people. And you need to be on the lookout for them and be interested and willing to take action when they present themselves. And I think student loan forgiveness is just, I think there was some political benefits of doing it now, but it is foreshadowing what I think is going to be a wave of opportunities in different forms that present themselves to Americans over the next year.
Yeah. I mean, one of the points they made in the article was you shouldn't stop contributing to your retirement plan. I mean, you hear us talk about this all the time, but you might think, oh, the market's down, blah, blah, blah. That is the best time for you to be contributing to your retirement plan. You're able to buy more shares of whatever, you know, whatever funds you have, your 401k, et cetera. And so this is a great time, right? And again, if you bail now, like this is a quote from the article, if you bail now, you'll miss the recovery, right? And the market historically, oh, this is not our words, this is from the article, historically over time, the market recovers. And there's actually a ton of great charts. And I was trying to kind of get my hands on one right now, but I've seen them on re-shown. They're not originated from Instagram, to be clear, but I've seen them shared on Instagram a lot in the past few weeks, just about the historical recoveries and like how long the downturns typically last, and even the longest ones, how long they've lasted. To give, I think, people some faith in, you know, the market is, you know, really down right now, but historically it recovers. And now is a great time to participate and take part in that recovery.
On that point, Maggie, I think it's important to understand that the market is not the economy, and the market prices stuff in before it actually happens. So this decline we're seeing is pricing in a recession. It is pricing in that companies are going to sell less and they're not going to perform as strongly as they did over the past couple of years.
Yeah, that they're predicting layoffs. Yeah, you know,
exactly. So like, I don't know if we are at the bottom right now. You can never exactly say when the bottom is until well after the point and you can look back. But in theory, we could have already been at the bottom. So the recession has been priced in and it will just continue to go up, even though the effects of it will be felt by people over the next year or two. The stock market is going to act differently.
Yeah, there's a high likelihood that I'm wrong, but I have a belief that we hit the bottom last Friday.
Oh, you were Friday picking morning, a date. That's awfully
around
specific.
Around 10:30 a.m. I was actually about to buy some stuff right after we got off recording. And then I got distracted. And then the market like rebounded like big time. And I was like that VUG, VUG, which is like one of my favorite funds lately. It was just really low. It was down. It was at like 210.
So let me get this straight. You have the extraordinary ability to identify the bottom down to the minute, but you're too busy to capitalize on it because...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wow. And I don't have that ability, to be clear. I'm going to just go on record saying there's a 99% chance that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I got a feeling, you know?
Well, I look forward to looking back on this and seeing if you're right. You could be right.
Well, wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be amazing.
Well, it wouldn't be amazing because I would have dumped all my money into it and I didn't. So it would not be. I would rather actually be wrong and have the bottom come like another time when I actually participate, even just a little bit. To be clear, I'm dollar cost averaging though. Like I'm slowly putting in some cash. Okay. So Mike, let's wrap this up by going back to the very beginning of this article. You opened and read a line. I'll just reread it really quickly. In his first inaugural address in March 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." That's deep.
Yeah. And I think it is easy for people to become fearful now because what we are seeing in the news or on social media is people talking about a recession as though it is going to be catastrophic and impact everyone dramatically and equally. And that is just not the case. And I think this article does a really good job of kind of separating some of the opportunity from the downside.
Yeah. And look, media's job is fear-mongering.
Yeah.
You know, the definition of fear-mongering, for those that don't know it, is it's the action of deliberately arousing public fear or alarm about a particular issue. Like, that's how they make money. That's how they get people to keep watching stuff, right? And so, there's a difference between fear and being prepared. Right. And I think we talked about this in our fear episode. What I would encourage you all to do is be educated and prepared. And that's what I hope our podcast and, you know, other personal finance content out there is doing for you is be prepared, right? Prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. And if you prepare like we're going into a recession, like, you know, kind of curb things back. I think actually at one point they suggested in the article, you might, if you're worried about your job security, cancel any vacation plans that you have for like the next year. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. That's kind of like sad. But they may not be wrong, right? I'm not saying cancel every vacation, but like you might want to pull back on things. This is a good time to assume the worst. Make sure you have a good emergency fund in place. Make sure that you're prepared if you were to lose your job, that you have money saved. Pull back on your spending, right? Like, and worst case, you know, some of the things that are being predicted do happen, but you're in a better position to handle it. Best case, you just saved a lot of extra money and things just continue to get more positive. And like, that's great. You saved a lot of money. Go put, you know, invest and save for the future. And you're further along on your financial goals. There's no downside to assuming that things could get a little bit rough financially and preparing for it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. All right. Well, because this is a new type of episode, we don't really have three takeaways, and I'm not really sure how we wrap it up.
Yeah, well, it was anytime there's like a list of seven things, also, yeah, there's no point in like wrapping it up in three. But I think the biggest takeaway is probably, you know, just the point I was just making. So I don't need to yeah. repeat as much as I'd love to. I'm not going to repeat it again. What's your biggest takeaway, Mike? That's my biggest takeaway from this article.
My like takeaway is the exact same.
Look at that. We're in sync.
Maybe more so that there's opportunity that can be created during economic slowdowns, not just be prepared for them. But I think it's you and I are have kind of similar key messages that we've taken from this article.
I like it. Okay, I got one goodbye thing for you, Mike. You ready?
Okay.
Wait for it. Can you hear that?
Is that the Reading Rainbow theme?
Yeah. But I'm going to go to the beginning.
Oh, God, what a great show. Are we going to get flagged for using this?
Probably. We're not going to use all of it.
Okay.
I'll just sing it, though. Can't go anywhere.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't even the right words. It's in a book, Reading Rainbow. You can use whatever you want of that, Mike, but I hope you enjoyed that. I know you missed the song. Man, that was a good song. Take a look. It's funny that you can remember like the words from something.
Oh, yeah.
30 years ago. Had a big impact on me. 35 years ago. Someone just said, one of the first comment on YouTube where I just pulled that up was, fun fact, just hearing this, the first 2 seconds of that opening synth is enough to make someone instantly 10 years old again without a care in the world.
Yeah, agreed.
I love it.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370, or you can hit us up on Instagram. And if your feedback is about that article, it was on the Washington Post. We didn't write it, so, you know.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Bye.